Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, losing someone you love can make grief impossible to navigate, but sadly, it can also affect your relationships with friends or family, sometimes distancing themselves because they don't know what to say or how to support you. So we'd like to hear from you. Have you lost friends or family members through grief? There's a lot being written about this online at the moment because Richard E. Grant gave an interview, and in it he spoke about how when his wife of 35 years died, there were friends, how he put it, had to be edited out of his life because he saw them cross the street and not want to speak to him. And he knew it was because of their discomfort, but he thought, that's not my kind of person. So we'd like to hear from you. And perhaps we'd have somebody who might be brave enough to say, look, I was that uncomfortable person, and explain why it is that you feel it's hard to talk about something like this. That WhatsApp number again is 087 1400 106. But I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by Venetia Quick, who's a broadcaster and host of the Grief Pod. I hope that's what you are, Venetia. You're very welcome.
Last ever looked.
And unfortunately, you have lived experience of this. You lost your husband, Martin, in 2018.
So I think it's something that, you know, I suppose since Richard E. Grant started talking about it, that you start thinking about it a bit more, because obviously when you lose someone, and particularly somebody that's, you know, a partner, as in his case, who's your best friend, who's your soulmate, who's sort of on a level with you, you've already lost a friend, and probably the most important friend in your life, the person who you come home from holidays, if they haven't been with you, you expect to be there, or you go for a night out, you expect to be there when you go home, and they're not. I think that a lot of the reason that Richard E. Grant was talking about people sort of avoiding him and crossing the road is because people don't know what to say. And there's a nervousness and a sort of, not an embarrassment, but sort of a reticence to bring something up, because they're worried what's going to come out of their mouth is the wrong thing. And I know that I'm that person still. Sometimes you say, I don't cross the road. Obviously, I always talk to somebody. But of course, you sort of might think afterwards, oh, did I say the right thing? Did I not say the right thing? But I think it's now we're talking about grief a lot more. Certainly when Martin died 8.5 years ago, there was very little written about grief. There was very little talked about grief. Now it's a lot more out there. There's a lot more online. There's a lot more in print. There's a lot more on air. So people are becoming more, who perhaps haven't been in that situation, luckily for them as yet, are becoming more aware of perhaps the words to use, or, you know, little things like, if you don't know what to say, text somebody.
Yeah, I mean, what are the words? Because, you know, sometimes I would think, again, wouldn't cross the road from somebody. But no. I would imagine when you're in grief like that, it can be very difficult to step out the front door sometimes. Yeah. And then the last thing you want when you've got the nerve to go to the shops is every single person stopping you on the road and going, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, and giving you that pitying look. So you'd imagine nearly it can be a godsend that some people don't come up to you. It's a tough one, isn't it?
It is, because also if you feel they're struggling, it makes you, like, with what to say, you're sort of, it makes you sort of go, okay, well, you should bring it up and go, I'm fine. Or sometimes, like, because you're in such a blur, especially in the first year afterwards, you wouldn't know what to come out of your mouth anyway to them. But I remember after Martin died, when I started having to sort of, it was during a half term, luckily, in, I suppose, because the kids, I didn't have to bring them to school or pick them up from school. But the following week, they did go back to school. And I started a little tactic where if I was okay that day and I was sort of happy to talk to people, I'd walk down the road and sort of, you know, wave or like give a little smile or have the head up. If I was absolutely in no state to talk to him, and I put on a pair of shades, so I didn't have to make eye contact, and it was February, so it was sort of not really shades weather. So it's sort of, I think that people knew I wasn't really making eye contact. I just put the head down, shades on.
My dad died 5 years ago, and it wasn't, you know, it was obviously very sad, but it wasn't in tragic circumstances necessarily. Mm. So I understand grief is very individual. Each experience is different. Yeah. But I found I wanted to talk about him and I wanted to talk about what had happened and how it happened and the whole story. So I don't think people should always avoid it necessarily.
No, I mean, and I think that is one thing. Like, I have a very close friend and her dad just passed away there a couple of weeks ago. And we were having a coffee the other day. And, you know, there's all so many parts to when somebody dies that, you know, how the, especially a grandparent, how the kids are, how the siblings are. And, you know, what happened on that day, because it's all so fresh. And it's almost like, I think you're keeping that person alive still and still relevant by talking about them. And it's sort of the most overwhelming and encompassing thing in your life at that time. So, of course, you want to talk about it. But I think one of the things is, and I think this is one of the things with the Richard E. Grant thing and his friends walking away, is that there is another side of it, that for the friends that mightn't be able to talk, and you've got, I think something that I learned as we went, as I went on, was there other people are grieving too, and they may have known your person longer than you knew them, or they may be a sibling of that person, or they may be, there's a connection there, and they're, sometimes it's too hard for them to be in
close proximity, if that's your direct friend group, or perhaps an in-law, or, you know, don't perhaps judge them for staying away. That could be their own grief.
Yeah, I mean, it is sometimes, like, it takes a while sometimes to go, oh, okay, well, that's what that is. And I actually remember having a conversation with somebody about that, that they found it too difficult to be around because Martin wasn't around.
Mm.
There was just this this big space. But there is an upside in that you become even closer to other people.
Yeah. You know, because, who your friends are. Isn't that what people say? And you say that without judgment, but the people that show up become your people.
Absolutely. Without doubt.
It always stays in my head. I interviewed somebody once who had lost their child to suicide. The most unimaginable grief. And I said, you know, when all the lasagnas had stopped coming to the door, you know, what worked for you, or what helped? And she said no lasagnas came to the door. Nobody called, because people literally didn't know what to say and were scared and worried. And even reading one of the articles here today, somebody said that people began to decide for them, you know, we didn't think you'd want us to call. We didn't think you'd want to come out. We didn't think you'd be up to it.
Yeah.
Do you think people should just be brave enough to ask?
Yeah. And I think that's where, like, a little thing like a text is really handy. A little WhatsApp going, hey, listen, no need to reply. Just wanted to let you know I'm thinking of you. You know, I'm around if you fancy a cup of tea or a walk, or, you know, and the same applies if for somebody going back into the workplace, you know, where it might be difficult and people go, oh, we better not bring it up at work. They might, other person might get upset. You know, you can just drop a cup of tea at the computer beside them. That lets them know you're thinking of them. And, you know, if they want to. Gestures.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a big conversation. Yeah. We're getting loads of texts in on this. My God, I lost a friend of nearly 30 years, says a texter. Neighbours running when they see you. It's not that they don't know what to say. It's because you make them uncomfortable about their own mortality. I find it funny now. My late husband would too. New and better people take their place. My brother died over 20 years ago by suicide, says another. And I noticed some people I know would cross to the other side of the road sooner than speak to me. But more recently, my sister died of natural causes, and it was the opposite. They would cross from the far side of the road to give their condolences. Yeah, let's remove any stigma around suicide, and, you know, let's embrace all people who lose somebody they love. I'd be the opposite. I'd be there 110% for a friend, a neighbour, etc., who's lost someone, depending on the level of friendship. If they open up to me about it, I'd be there with open arms. Perhaps it's a culture thing. I was born and raised in Toronto, Canada, and people generally comfort others when grief occurs. In Ireland, I found it a bit of a culture shock of Irish people being indirect, so might be in general for all topics that the Irish culture are avoidant. I thought we were well up for it, and apparently we do death very well. I mean, we're all, you know, in the house doing the wake, drinking the whiskey, eating the ham sandwiches. But are we really looking somebody in the eye and saying, how are you? I want to go to the phones because we have Marie on the line and you might be able to listen in, Venetia. Marie, you also lost your husband. I'm very sorry for your loss, of course. How did you feel grief impacted the people around you and your relationships?
Well, I think it was because it was 2010, so quite a few years ago, and I was in my mid-40s. I think, yeah, people avoided me, but I think it was because it was a guilt complex because they had their partners, their children had a father and a mother alive, and my children were suffering from a death. And I think it was actually nearly they felt, oh my God, I feel so sorry for her, but if I go over and I'm all happy with my family, it's going to make her feel worse. But having said that, there was plenty of people there for me, and the people who were there often said the wrong thing, but I still appreciated the fact that they tried, that they did their best. They might say something that I'd think in my head, oh God, I wish they hadn't said that, but it was given with a good intention. So I think the thing to do is to accept anybody's condolences, even if inappropriate, as being meant with the best of intentions.
What obviously, kind of things, Marie, can you think of any examples?
Somebody said to me, you're only young, you'll move on. And it's like, no, yes, of course. And obviously, 15 years later, things have changed. But, you know, if somebody says, I would say, I love my partner. He might be gone 15 years, but I love him. The love is there. You might move on in life. But people don't mean to say things. I think mostly people are kind and mean to be good. And then there's the other side of it where people reach out. I was at a parent-teacher meeting just after he passed away, and a friend of my daughter's who noticed me hadn't got the nerve to come over and talk to me, but said to her daughter, I'd like to reach out to Marie. Do you think that's a good idea? And she did. And we became really good friends and went on holidays together with our children. And at the time, she was a lifesaver. We weren't good friends up to that. So you make friends, you lose friends. And you have to remember, say, in Richard E. Grant's case, I think he's very angry at the loss at the time. And I was the same. One of the things I did, which absolutely sounds awful now, was I would see much older people and say, why are they still alive when such a good man is gone? Yeah. Now that goes. That main anger goes after a while. It's an initial thing. So sometimes you might react to somebody ignoring you more than you would, like more than it should be, because you're angry. You're angry with your life. You're angry with your loss. You know, it's not. And at other times, I would have avoided people. I'd see somebody in the supermarket and say, oh, I don't want to talk about this. And they might see me avoiding them. You know, hopefully they would understand the reasons just as much as I would if they avoided me. But I do think grief is individual. You know, people deal with it in a different way, and people handle other people's grief in different ways. I think 99% of people do it with good intentions, personally. Yeah.
And Venetia here in studio, you've been nodding away. You had similar things said to you.
Well, I was just thinking about the anger thing and what Marie was saying there as well. And I think with the people losing friends along the way, that can also happen later on, a few years down the line, because, you know, as Marie was saying, like, grief affects everybody differently. It's not linear. It's not like you break your arm and you get a cast and hopefully, you know, you're raring to go again in 6 weeks. Like, you can be 3 years down the line, 4 years down the line, and having a really bad day, be really snappy with a friend, and your friend just goes, well, I thought she was over it. Do you know? You know, so it's a really complicated thing to do. And I also, what Marie was saying as well about sort of the lady who was the mother of her daughter's friend. I mean, that has happened to me where I've become very, very close with people I wasn't necessarily as close with up until the time Martin died.
Yeah. You know, and you've been told you're young.
Oh, yeah. At least you're young. It's the lovely at least part in front of it.
I suppose, as you said, Marie, you just have to accept that people don't mean offence, and you'd nearly prefer them to stumble over. Can I ask you something that I said to you? And I always wonder, and Venetia, you can answer too. When someone says, I'm sorry for your loss, is that something, I mean, no one wants to talk about it, but is there a better line than that? Because that's the one we all lean on.
You know, I don't know. I always thought, I'm sorry if your loss was appropriate to say, but a couple of years ago, I started doing a counselling course, a crisis text line course. And one of the things they told us was never to say to anybody who was contacting us, I'm sorry for your loss. So I have stopped saying that. But I never found it I'm glad that people are, you know, I feel that that's an appropriate thing to say, but maybe that's an age thing with me. I don't know, Phoenicia maybe is younger, maybe she would have a different opinion on that. But like personally, I accept it as it's meant, as an offer of sympathy, and always accept it as something kind.
Yeah, I would agree. It's not something that I've ever really gone, oh, I can't believe they said that.
Yeah.
You know,
I think
anything. Anybody trying to sort of say something to you or get that emotion across, I think is welcome.
Yeah. Marie, thank you so much for joining us today. And I want to bring in Sharon Kavanagh. Sharon, you're also a widow and chairperson of the Widowed and Bereaved Partners of Ireland. Can you identify with everything that's been coming through today?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on there. I am chairperson of the WBPI, but I'm also a member of the Facebook page Widowed in Ireland. And when you contacted me yesterday, I put up a question to people. We've over 2,500 members, and pretty much like it generated a huge conversation about people's experiences after losing their partner or spouse. And one of the big things that comes up is, you know, you were a member of a couple and now you probably had couple friends and now those couple friends are no longer around. And whether that be because they're uncomfortable, whether it's because there is a void because of the person that is gone, or whatever it might be. But, you know, there's all of those secondary losses after the initial huge loss of your best friend. And there was also interesting ones where younger people who had children, etc., when their partner died, they weren't financially able to keep up with some of their friends anymore, because there is a whole financial thing that happens after you're widowed, you know, that you won't have the two incomes, etc. And some people felt that they weren't able to keep up with those kind of nights out and things. And then the third thing that really resonated with me as well was that people said that people would say, oh, we must grab a coffee, or I must have you over for dinner, or I must do this, that and the other, and they don't follow up. And when you're grieving, it's exhausting to have to think somebody else's feelings as well as your own. And you really don't feel like begging somebody to have you over for dinner or go out for coffee or whatever. So in some ways, if people are going to say, I must have you over for coffee, I must do whatever, do it. Don't just say it.
Yeah, Sharon, and I never really thought about that. And of course, there could be, you know, groups who are saying, you know, we have a night out, we have a weekend away, we're planning this, we're planning that, and you're saying no to it. Keep an eye out for them and then do the dinner in or the cup of coffee or the cup of tea. That's something I never thought about. I think that's brilliant, brilliant advice to people. Sharon, thanks very much for coming on. Where can people find that Facebook page, Sharon?
So it's called Widowed in Ireland, and it's on Facebook, and it is a heavily vetted page. We have admin because we do have people trying to get on that aren't bereaved. So it's for widowed and bereaved partners that are either living in Ireland or that are Irish and living elsewhere. You have to ask to be added, and then you have to look at your Messenger app to make sure, because they'll be asking for proof of your partner passing away.
Okay, Sharon, thank you very much for the work you do and for coming on today. A texter says, I lost my 18-year-old son 2.5 years ago to suicide. Our hearts are utterly broken. I have great friends that have been there for me, but I also have friends who have disappeared from my life. It's hurt on top of immense hurt, heartbreak, devastation. The sadness and loneliness is very, very hard. Another says, I lost my wife 3 years ago and her brothers have yet to get in touch with me from the day of the funeral. So sad when your in-laws do this. And another says, we do time around the funeral well, but not the grief afterwards. Well, hopefully today's conversation might go some way to changing that. To Marie, to Sharon and Venetia Quick for joining me here in studio. Thank you so, so much for today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.